It appears that we have some weary people. We have some Cien kind of people. A few too many projects. A few too much holidays. No? Okay. Just checking. Well, we're going to rectify that tonight. We're going to have fun. Everyone say fun. All right. Now, I have a great message to share with you tonight, and I'm going to talk to you very simply. Are we ready with the powerful point of PowerPoint? Are we ready? Dun 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 dun. It's getting cut off at the top of the screen. All right. I'm going to talk to you tonight from a message entitled, Which Chair Are You Sitting In? Which chair are you sitting in? Now, will you please poke your neighbor and ask them, which chair are you sitting in? You may inspect their hindquarters and see which chair they're in tonight. All right. Which chair is it? Now, if you're ready for this, let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Father, thank you tonight that you're here in this place. Thank you for a great time, Lord, for us to come as young people to worship you. God, to lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, we love the name of Jesus. Lord, we love what you've done for us. We love that you died for us on the cross. We love the eternal life that you give us. And Lord, tonight, this is all about you. Now, Father, I pray you'd help me as I begin to preach. Would you give me your anointing? And Lord, would you speak to every single one of us tonight in Jesus' name if you want it. Come on, shout amen. All right. Now, which chair are you sitting in? So I'm going to talk to you about some chairs tonight. And I have four such chairs up here on the platform, professionally spray painted by yours truly. Do they look good? Oh, Nigel, that's it. Get out. Back to Africa. No, I'm just kidding. Now, I'm going to talk to you about chairs tonight. Okay. And before I talk to you about chairs, I don't know if you realize this, but chairs tend to be kind of important. All right. Okay, Jinlin's getting blessed. Amen. But chairs are kind of important in life, and everywhere you go, it's always good to have a chair. You just like sitting on a chair. And there are many kinds of chairs that you encounter in life. In fact, me and Carissa travel quite a bit. We've traveled quite a bit. And every time you get to the airport, the first thing that they ask you is, look, which seat would you like to sit in? Which seat? Do you want an aisle seat? Do you want a window seat? What kind? Do you want a seat next to a stinky man? What kind of seat do you want? And so you tell them which seat you want. And in the plane, there are many seats, of course, but the plane is further divided into classes. And so there's different classes of seats. There's economy class, there's business class, and there's first class. And there is a big difference between first class and economy class. All right. There's a huge difference. Now, in economy class, you're jammed in there and you're snuggled up next to some man's armpit and you thought it was a fluffy pillow. It's actually his hair. And, you know, you wake up. I know. You wake up. You were having dreams of eating cotton candy. No, you were nibbling on the guy's armpit hair. It's happened. It's happened before. I'm just warning you tonight. But one time I got upgraded to business class in Singapore Airlines. My goodness, there was a big difference. Have you ever been in business class, Doug? Oh, we're going to pray for you. Sala? No, you neither? Nigel? Nigel's been, he knows what I'm talking about. Now, I got in business class. Business class is different. The seats are a little bit bigger and they're fluffy. You don't want to get out. And they go like almost all the way back. They give you special noise canceling headphones. Oh. So that it cancels out the hum of the plane engine. So it's going, whoa, very nice. And so the point of the noise canceling headphones is so that when you turn on your screen and you watch one of the 50 movies that you can choose from or play one of the like 30 Super Nintendo games, that nothing is going to distract you. You know what I'm talking about? And they start bringing you food and towels and, you know, chips and would you like a foot massage and da 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 da. No, I'm just kidding. They don't do that. And so the stewardess, she brings me ice cream. All right. She brings me ice cream and I start eating my ice cream and it's a little tub of ice cream and it's a little hard because it's frozen because it's ice cream. Right. I know. And the first word in ice cream, I don't know if you realize this, is ice because it's iced cream. Oh, yes. So if nothing else, you've learned something tonight. I just want to make sure I send you home to your parents with something. But anyway, I'm starting to eat it and all of a sudden this stewardess comes up and she goes, oh, I'm sorry, sir. Is it hard? Let me get you another one. And she whisks off behind the curtain and she comes back with a soft ice cream. Oh, it's so easy to scoop out and put it in my mouth. And I started to realize this chair is a different kind of chair than the chair I've been sitting in for a while. Now, there's a lot of chairs. There's also sports chairs. How many sports players do we have tonight? Any sports players in the house, wannabe or otherwise? All right. So anyway, we got some sports players. And I used to play soccer. Yeah, I did. Me and David Beckham went to different schools together. I used to play. And so anyway, I went to the Singapore American School for a few years, and our team was terrible. I mean, it was bad. I think we lost every game, like every single game. It was very demoralizing. But anyway, I was on this team, and the first year I wasn't very good. And that was probably because I'd never played soccer before. And so I got on the team, and so they have this thing. When you're on a sports team, they have this special seat, and it's called the bench. Everyone say the bench. Now, the thing about sports is, see, if you're not very good, you spend a lot of time sitting on the bench. And you keep it nice and warm, so the good players, when they get tired, they come back and they can sit on a warm seat, all right? And so what happens is you sit on this bench, and as people get substituted into the game, usually everybody slides down one seat because the coach is on the end of the bench. And you think to yourself, you know what? The coach doesn't remember that I'm on this team, but I'm actually really good. And if he remembers I'm on the team, then maybe he'll put me in. And so you start sliding down, and then you finally get next to the coach, and so then you do whatever you can to get his attention. Oh, man, I feel good today. I feel really good. Coach, I'm telling you, I'm having a good day today. Really? Yeah, I am. I feel good. I feel like this is an MVP kind of day, you know? You know what I'm saying? And you try to get his attention. You start doing jumping jacks in front of the coach. And whatever you can do, because if you get his attention, you might get in the game. Now, if the coach notices you and you get his attention and you don't get in the game, you need to quit the game because you stink, all right? And this bench, you know, is an important part of the game. There are lots of other seats. Now, some of you still play this game, and if you do, we'll pray for you later. But I think everyone has at some point played the game musical chairs. Do you know what I'm talking about? Musical chairs. Do you remember musical chairs? What a great game. That it's a great game. I need a chair. Let me get this chair. Now, musical chairs has got to be like the world's most famous party game. And when you're little, you always play musical chairs at parties. And you remember how this game goes? You know, you get a whole bunch of seats and a whole bunch of crazy little kids in the room, and they start playing the music. And then the music stops, and you run and try to grab a seat, but there's always one less seat than there is people. And that's a problem. And so you start playing the game. And if you're really good, you finally end up, you are the last person in the game. Have you ever been like that in musical chairs? It's down to you and some girl, all right? Or if you're a girl, maybe it's you and some guy, whatever. And they start playing the music. And you're kind of sliding around the chair. And you're trying to do it really, really fast. And all of a sudden, and they stop the music, and everything goes into slow motion. It sounds like there's whales flying around. And all of a sudden, you realize that this girl is about to sit down on the seat, and her hind end is about 3 inches off, and you go, and just before the game is finally over, you just go, and the girl goes, you sit in the seat and you say, I won! I'm the winner! Now, you look really guilty tonight. Have any of you tried that? Because actually, Sala did it. He told me he did it. He did it to a secretary at his church. Is that bad? That's pretty bad. I'm serious. You know what I'm saying? And you just grab the seat. Ah! And the whole point of the game is to get in the chair. Everyone say chair. So tonight, I want to ask you what chair you're sitting in. Turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 10, verse 35, and when you get there, say, check it out. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. It is in the new part of the Bible. Matthew, Mark, the second book of the New Testament. Here we go. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Go ahead and put it up there on the PowerPoint. It says this, then James and John, okay, these are Jesus' disciples, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. They came over to talk to Jesus, and they said, teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. What is it? He asked. In your glorious kingdom, we want to sit in places of honor next to you. Everyone say chairs. they said, one at your right hand and the other at your left. But Jesus answered, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of sorrow I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, they said, we are able. And Jesus said, you will indeed drink from my cup and be baptized with my baptism, but I have no right to say who will sit on the thrones next to mine. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. Now, this story, we happen upon Jesus. Excuse me. Wow. Jesus. All right. We happen upon Jesus and his disciples, and they're hanging out. He's hanging out with his homeboys. And all of a sudden, James and John, they walk up to Jesus and they say, hey, J-Dog, we need something tonight. He says, what do you want? And they say, listen, we want you to do whatever we want. We want you to grant us a wish. All right. They think Jesus is a genie. And so they say, we want you to do anything we ask, whatever it is. And he says, well, I'll try. What do you want me to do for you? And so they start to explain their wish to him, and they want seats of honor in his kingdom. They say, look, in heaven, when you're sitting on the throne, we want to be in seats of honor right next to you, your right and your left. And if you ever watch, you know, movies about kingdoms with kings and queens and stuff, it's the people that sit next to the king and queen. That's always the place of most honor. And that's exactly what these guys are talking about. And so they say, this is what we want. And Jesus says, well, look, I don't know about that because that's not up to me. That's up to God who sits where they sit. And what happens is this, James and John, when Jesus found them and made them disciples, when he first called them, what they were doing was they were mending their nets, the Bible says. They were sitting with their father on the beach and they were fishermen and they were cleaning out their nets. Fish guts, you know, okay, seaweed, fish poo, you know. Lobster, you know, and they're just throwing stuff out and they're cleaning up the nets. And Jesus walks on and says, hey, listen, I want you to leave everything. Follow me. And so they drop it. They drop what they're doing. They drop the family business. They leave their father. They leave everything. And they gave up everything to follow Jesus. These guys had a successful business. These guys had a future ahead of them and they left everything. And so you come upon these two disciples and these guys probably thought out of all the disciples that they gave up the most to follow Jesus. They probably thought that they had left the most. And so they had the right to ask Jesus for something in return. And so they walk up to Jesus and they say, listen, I want you to do whatever I ask you to do. Now picture this. If Jesus was here tonight and you could ask him for anything you want, wow. What would you ask him for? Think about that. What would you ask him for? You can't ask for more wishes, all right? That's not allowed. You're not allowed to do that. Some of you, I know, Colin, I can see it in your face. But a real wish. You could have anything you want. What would you ask him for? Think about it. Some of you are like, man, I'd ask for a PS3. It's not even out yet. Just create it. Come on. You could ask for anything. Now, these guys, they walk up to Jesus and say, do whatever we ask. Jesus says, all right, try me. I want to know what you want. And guess what they ask for? Out of all the things in the world, I mean, they could have asked for money. They could ask for wealth. They could ask for power. They could ask to be able to do miracles. They could ask for anything that they wanted. And these two guys, you know what they ask for? They ask for chairs. They ask for chairs. Take a look at your chair. Is that a cool chair? Hey, these are cool chairs. All right, they're not that cool, but they're green. Now look, if you could ask for anything, do you think you would ask God for one of these? You could just go buy one like I did at Quartz and spray paint it whatever color you want. You know what I'm talking about? But they asked for chairs. And the other disciples are ticked. I mean, they are upset. They said, what's going on? Why are you asking Jesus? And they're mad because they didn't think of it first. And now they're all upset. And everyone's mad because they couldn't determine where they were going to sit in heaven. They tried to convince Jesus, but they couldn't. But I want to tell you something tonight. These four chairs represent where you are in relation to God tonight. These chairs represent where you sit in relationship to Jesus Christ. Whether you believe in him or not tonight, everyone in this place, we're sitting on one of these four chairs. And tonight, you have an opportunity to determine where you sit in the kingdom of God. So I want to talk to you about four chairs. Everyone say four chairs. Are you ready for this? I want to talk to you, first of all, about the red chair. Everyone say red chair. Come on, say it out loud. Red chair. This is the red chair. Now, the red chair represents fire. The red chair represents passion. The red chair represents being absolutely on fire for God, in love with Jesus. I mean, you are burning up. Everything to do with being on fire and having passion in your life. You're passionate in worship. Man, you are just addicted to prayer. You can't get enough of God. You just love to hear about God. You love to read about God. You love to be around Christians. You just love God so much that it is literally burning up in your life. You know what I'm talking about? And that is the red chair. And some of you tonight are seated in this chair. Some of you used to be seated in this chair. But you are just consumed. Like a fire consumes things. You are consumed with the things of God. Now, this movie just came out. I haven't got to go see it. But it's the Fantastic Four. All right, Grace is excited about that. You like the Fantastic Four? All right. I did not know that. It's okay. It's okay. So we'll go see it. All right. I used to read the Fantastic Four comic books. Now, I don't know about the movie. I haven't seen it yet. You can correct me. But you see, there's four people in the Fantastic Four. There's the Mr. Stretchy guy. All right. Whatever his name is. Yeah. Mr. Fan. Thank you, Aaron. Mr. Fantastic. You should study more and read comic books less. All right. No, I'm just kidding. Then there's his wife, the Invisible Woman. Right. She makes the little force shields and stuff. There's the Thing. He's like solid, but he's made out of rocks. And then there's this last guy, and he's the Human Torch. Right. All of you should read comic book lessons and study more. All right. The Human Torch. And what he does, you know, back in the comic books, when he wants to become the Human Torch, he just says these two words. He says, flame on! Woof! And he just, something happens inside his chemistry, and he becomes this amazing, burning Human Torch who begins to do destruction to all these other evil forces on the planet. And he begins to beat up on the bad guys. And that's a lot like the people that sit in this chair. When you are on fire for God, there are some of you tonight, and you're sitting in this chair, and you are people who have learned how to say some things that ignite your life. You've learned how to say the name of Jesus. You've learned how to draw near to Jesus. And when you call on Him, all of a sudden, something fills you. When you're in worship to Him, something just comes upon you, and you are lit up. I mean, power comes in your life from the Holy Spirit, and you are absolutely changed, and you can sense the difference in these kind of people. You can see them burning. I mean, you can see them coming from a long way off. But let me tell you where this chair is not found. This chair is not found in sin week after week. This chair is not found hooked up on the internet on some pornographic website. This chair is not found just spending his time in parties and getting with this guy and that girl, because when you sit in this chair, you've got to stay in places that encourage your fire. You can't be in places that begin to douse your fire and stay in the red chair. Does that make sense tonight? Everyone say, uh-huh. Now I want to tell you about the second chair. It's the green chair. Everyone say green chair. The green chair. Now the green chair is important. And the green chair represents growth. All right. The green chair represents growth. People in the green chair are not just on fire, but they just want to grow in God. I mean, they want to get more of God. They want to grow in faith. They want to grow in the Word. They want to grow closer to Jesus. They want to learn more about what it means to really understand who God is. They want to know about miracles. They want to know about what Jesus is asking them to do in their life. And they are interested in growing. These people are found in church. Man, they're found in personal Bible study, in prayer. They're reading their Bible. They're praying. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Angel. Read your Bible, pray every day, Angel. Not row, row, row. That's a different song, all right? That's a whole nother song. Grow, grow, grow. Now, God wants you to grow. Everyone say grow. Man, He wants every single one of us to grow. Now, I have just go ahead and hit the next thing, and then one more. Look at this picture. This is my son. This is Caleb. Oh, we need to turn the floodlights off because they can't see him real well. Someone turn the lights off. Yeah, there you go. And that's Caleb. Isn't he cute? Oh, he's got little shoes on, and there's a little cheetah on his thing. You can't see that, but it's a little cheetah. And, you know, Caleb needs to grow. Now, he's cool. I like him small, but, oh, there he is. All right. But, you know, something would be wrong if he was this size forever. You know what I'm talking about? Right now, he cries a little bit now, wah, and he needs some milk and stuff. But if he was 16 years old and he was still going, wah, I would probably slap him. Probably. Or I'd pay someone to do it or something. I don't know. Because he's got to grow. He's got to change. And some of us tonight, maybe you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while. Some of you need to be in this green chair. Some of you are already here. You got to grow up. You got to change some things in your life. You got to know more about God. Are you the same person that you were last year? Are you the same person you were last week? Have you just stayed the same as a Christian for your life? You need to get in the green chair. But the thing is, you can't grow and feed yourself the wrong food. Hello? I'm not grinding up Skittles and putting them in Caleb's milk. Hello? Some of you are like, really? I thought they were good for me. No, they're not. Have a break. Have a Kit Kat. It's not going to help you grow. You're like 3'5" and you're wondering, you know, can I just have one more Kit Kat? No. Drink some milk. My goodness. You got to eat the right kind of food. God wants you to grow. And the Bible says, look, if you abide with Christ, if you stay with him, you're just with him. It's not that you feel stuff all the time, but if you remain in his word, you keep praying, you keep seeking him, you're going to grow. You're going to bear fruit in your life and you're going to change. Hello? Can someone say amen? Is anyone alive tonight? All right. Am I speaking to young people? Now, here's the thing about the green chair. It's not a one-week wonder. Oh, this is where it's going to make a lot of sense. You see, some of you remember this. Some of you this happened last week. But for some of you, a few years ago, when you were in school, you looked over and you saw this girl.
Oh.
And girls, you saw this guy. And you caught her eye, and she caught your eye, and you went, and she said, and little sparrows started to fly in the background, and you heard this music, can you feel the love tonight? It is where we are, and you thought, my life is never going to be the same again. And so you finally got the courage to walk over to this girl. You're probably about 7 years old. And you thought, this is the one for me. We're going to get married. We're going to have a good time. And so you walk over to her and you go, and she goes, kind of like how these girls are doing right now. I was just wondering if, you know, I was wondering, will you be my girlfriend? And she goes, uh-huh. Oh, thank you. And then you just run away because you're so scared. And guess what happens? A week goes by. You're too embarrassed to talk to her. She's too embarrassed to talk to you, but you look at each other every day and you're sure that looking is enough. Your relationship is growing strong. Things are happening. I mean, you know, these looks are getting more intense every day. And a week later, the girl walks up to you and she says, Nigel. And you think, you know my name? She knows my name. It's meant to be. She says, Nigel, I got to tell you something.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to work out. Oh, and you're devastated. But it's only been a week. I know, Nigel, but your breath stinks. I can't take it anymore. And it's over, baby. It's over, just like that. Oh, my goodness. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, don't raise your hand. We'll have prayer later. It's okay. The green chair's not like that. See, the problem is some of you met Jesus, you heard about him, you thought he was great, but you never really took the time to know him. And you tried to just have this little fling thing with Jesus and with church. Well, I came to church. I don't get it. I don't know. I sat through the song. I just don't get it. Yeah, but did you try to talk to Jesus? Did you get into his word? Did you really give him some time and not just find the next thing that pops into your life that grabs your attention and you jump from one thing to the next? Because people in the green chair don't do that. Can you say, uh-huh? Now, the third chair, here we go. The third chair is the gray chair. The gray chair. And the great chair, as you can see, it's gray. That's why it's called the great chair. It's not white. It's not black. It's gray. And the great chair represents being neither here nor there. It represents being lukewarm. It's neither hot nor cold. The great chair is a comfortable chair. And the great chair, I don't have one tonight, but just go along with me. The great chair is the only one of these four chairs that comes with a cushion. The great chair, you get a free cushion when you sit in the great chair. It's a special deal. You buy a great chair, you get a free cushion. Because it's comfortable. It's the place you like to be. It's being lukewarm. It's maybe going to church sometimes, but you're just too tired to pray. It's, well, you know, I checked out. I'm too tired really to worship tonight. I just don't really want to enter in. I don't know. I'm all right. I mean, I believe in Jesus. It's believing in Jesus, but not really wanting to change your life. Well, why do I have to change my lifestyle? Well, why can't I say this? Why can't I do that? Why do I have to become holy? Why do I have to let God absolutely revolutionize my life? Because you're sitting in the gray chair. And so you start asking these kind of questions. You're just a little bit tired, just a little bit not so into it. And tonight, some of you realize if there was a time in your life that you loved God more than you love Him now, that you are more passionate about Him than you are now, then listen up, ladies and gentlemen, you happen to be seated in the gray chair tonight, and something needs to change in your life. The gray chair is the only chair with an eject button also. It's a special chair. This chair is kind of like the Batmobile of chairs. It comes with a cushion, and it comes with an eject button, because the Bible says in Revelation, Jesus talking to the church, he says, listen, you're lukewarm, and I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're not hot or cold, you're just kind of in between, you know what? I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'm going to spit you out. I'm just going to boot you, baby. It's coming. And the sad thing about the gray chair, listen, is that only believers sit in this chair, not unbelievers. Hello? Hello? Can someone say, uh-huh? Only believers sit in this chair. Only people that they kind of think, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I think he's real. They sit in this, and it's a progression. You start off on fire for God, and slowly you slip down, and you end up in the gray chair. If you don't watch it, if you're not careful, if you're not staying growing in his word, if you're not really interested in the things of God, you end up in the gray chair. And if you're not careful, we finally end up in the last chair, which is the black chair. And the black chair represents an absence of light. The black chair represents being away from God. If you're in the black chair tonight, your relationship with God is severed, or you're an unbeliever. You're not a Christian. You've never asked Jesus into your heart. And so there's an absence of light. God doesn't live inside of you. His power is not in you. Now listen, if you happen to be someone like that tonight, I'm not here to condemn you. We love and accept you tonight, but I want to give you a chance to know Jesus. Because it can happen. And the good news is, you don't have to crawl your way up. You know, some people, when you mess up, you got to work your way back into their life. But with Jesus, you don't have to crawl your way. Man, you can go in 1 second from this chair all the way to this chair, just like that. Because God can come in and revolutionize your life tonight. He can do it. And so maybe you came in here and you don't know Jesus. You're not really sure what you think about Jesus. Then listen up, young person. You're seated in this black chair, but it doesn't have to stay that way. God is real. He's got a plan for your life. He loves you and he wants to do something in you. Now I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I want everyone to listen to me carefully. Listen tonight. There are four chairs on this platform. They represent where you are seated in the kingdom of God. Two of these chairs are found in heaven. And two of these chairs tonight are found in hell. But every single one of these chairs are found in this place. And every one of us tonight is seated in one of the four of these chairs. So the question is, which chair are you sitting in? Which chair are you sitting in? Are you on fire for God? Or is your fire kind of grown cold? Is it kind of getting dim? Are you growing in God? Are you giving your life to Him daily? Or do you realize, God, I kind of slacked off. I need to kind of step it up tonight. Are you just lukewarm? You're just not sure. You kind of believe in Jesus. You kind of come to church, but it's not how it should be. It's not how it used to be. You're just making excuses for your lifestyle and for how you want to be. Or maybe tonight you're in the black chair and you don't know Jesus.
but you need to know him tonight. And you say, you know what, Jeremy, I want it. I want this to be the night. I want this to be the day that I give my life to God. Which chair are you sitting in? I want everyone to close their eyes. And tonight, if you say, you know what, Jeremy, I'm in this place, but I'm a Christian, but I know I'm not in the chair I should be in. I know I've slipped down, but I want God to do a work in my life. I want him to put me back in that green chair. I want him to put me back in that red chair. I want him to do something inside of me tonight. I want him to change me. If that's you, come on quickly. Would you just lift your hand up and say, yeah, that's me tonight. I need prayer. I need God to